There he is. Just going to pray for Kenny and... And Father, I just thank you for Kenny and the word that you've given him today. Lord, we ask that you would just fill him with your spirit and give him joy in the delivery. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good morning. Before we begin, I want to ask you a question. How was your summer? And I want to ask you, what did rest look like for you? So Brad's got a mic. I want you to think about, how was your summer? And what did rest look like for you? I guess that's a good question, eh? Everyone's thinking.
I think I can fairly say my summer was great. We had a wonderful time of rest. And we came back to almost tripling our duties within our block. The day after we came back, they held a meeting, and I was nominated by four different tenants to take over the treasury for our block, for our tenants association. And it's been go, go, go ever since. For me, rest looks like coming here on Sunday and going to Subway on Sunday. That's rest for me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks, Herman.
We went to Regina for square dancing, and I didn't get to drive. My son-in-law came along, and he helped drive, so that was kind of a rest. And it was beautiful sunsets I got to see. And when I get really tired now, I go in the balcony and just look at the lights and just sit in quiet.
Thank you.
Donna and I have had a real good summer. And we spent 2 weeks in Calgary with Jim. He's still on dialysis 5 times a week and doing actually quite well at the present time. And I pledge to Brad here one bottle of the other healer called Liniment.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
I just want to say... my place of rest is my front porch that a few years ago, many of you had a hand in restoring our front porch. It is still a Shangri-La. So yeah, I want to say thank you again for all the work you put into it. It actually has been a place of tremendous rest for me.
I feel like saying, what summer? Friday before Mother's Day, I did my foot in, and I've had all kinds of things happening through the summer, and the best thing is I've had to sit a lot, and so I've really spent a lot of time in the Word and with the Lord, and like the presence of the Lord is nourishment to the growth of grace in my life, and I'm thankful for that. It's been good. Yeah. Not easy, but good.
One, two, three.
Hello, everybody. We're so glad to have Murray back with us, and we're back in the church, and we thought we weren't going to have him at all. And with all your prayers, just thank you so much. And we're here, I hope, for a long time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good This is one of those times that's kind of hard to share. And it's everything's supposed to be pretty, and we're supposed to be on top of everything, and I'm not always. And summer was hard for me. I'm alone a lot and don't connect with people, and I felt very lonely for a good part of the summer. But today, Anita went crawling up towards the cross, and that bless she did a couple times, and that blessed me so much because I identify with crawling to the cross. And I think at some point, I'm in the process of learning to stand up and walk and dance before the Lord. Sometimes I have glimpses of that, moments of that. And I think it's a process, but I identify so much, but I think that's our walk. Mm-hmm. So that, for some, to me, the rest part is boring and lonely. Brad and Kenny were gone a lot, and then there was not much to do here and that kind of stuff. I did have one highlight that was opposite. It was definitely dance time. My daughter lives in Sioux Lookout on the top of a hill that overlooks a lake with trees all around. And I was there for 4.5 days, and that was just glorious. And I feel the presence of the Lord there. That was a real blessing to me. So there was, if that would be rest it's rest in a different way, emotional rest and also physical rejoicing, or emotional rejoicing too. So that's a different take than on what you probably expect.
Hi there. My name's Rod, for those of you who haven't met me. This was an amazing summer for us as a family, I think. I get to spend about 2.5 weeks in Utah, which is God's green, wonderful rejuvenation for me. And rest was a little bit different than for most years, I think. I think rejuvenation would be another word that I would use in replacement of rest. And we were at a place called Little Sahara Sand Dunes in Utah as a family, and we saw a couple of these little dune buggies kind of booting around. And then we saw a big dune buggy who was booting around. And Jacob looked over and said, "Oh, for my 14th birthday, the coolest thing in the world would be just to like go for a ride in a dune buggy like that." And I was like, "Keep dreaming, buddy. It's never going to happen." And this guy came up with his hot rod dune buggy with about 800 horsepower in it and said, "You guys want to ride?" And we were able to hop in there and spend 12 minutes on the ride of a lifetime, going 110 miles an hour or so up the sand dunes and flying through the air. And just, it was a wonderfully restful and rejuvenating time, and felt God in a new way as we hung on for dear life and prayed very hard. And that was rest for us in a really neat way.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure there's lots of stories about how people's summers were, how you were rejuvenated or you found rest. Before we start, just a quick note in the bulletin. We're having an ordination service for Brad September 11th. If you could RSVP to the office by September 1st, that would be great, just to give the planners number of how many people will be there, so that would be great. So we've been talking and walking through this series called Rest, and we were basing it on Psalm 46, and we've heard quite a few stirring messages and testimonies throughout the summer about people's take on what does rest look like, what does a spiritual journey to rest look like, and there was various aspects of rest. Which included, and this is going to be a bit of reflection time for us, is knowing that God is in control of our lives and that he cares for every part of our life. That no matter the troubles that we face, Jesus' faithfulness is our provision. We heard that rest is an action word, may not be just a passive word when we think rest, just sit down and put your feet up, but it's actually, we're called to take action and step out into rest and to examine our life and see if we're listening to the Good Shepherd. Are we listening to the Shepherd calling us? And that came from Psalm 23. We heard that we have nothing to fear as we're guided by Jesus, who gives us true rest when we surrender our lives and believe in his work on the cross. And this was the salvation message of handing over our life and picking up the Lord's life in our acceptance of him. We learned about forbs and what forbs were. Good food for the sheep. That they're found in lush pastures and that we're called and actually made to lie down in green pastures where we're restored. We heard that even through uncertainty and pain, the voice of Jesus calms us and we can trust him. That Jesus' sovereignty is weaving something that we may not see. So he's doing something in our lives in the midst of his sovereignty and the things that we face on a day-to-day basis. And this weaving is something wonderful and it's eternal. It's going to last, what he's doing in our life. We were asked the question, what is your Syria? What could it be that you're running from? Or what's the tension in your life? And we reflected on repentance and rest being our salvation and resting in that. We heard that Sabbath rest is a relational thing, something that we're called in as a community to enter into. I know that was very applicable to our life this summer. We learned that our mind needs to be governed by the Spirit, that control is a rest dealer, and I think we've heard that before. But that if we give our minds over to the Lord, we will see things like love and forgiveness and joy and peace. And this will be visible for other people to see in our life as we sit in that place. We heard about practical ways to be still and find time to be with Jesus. Andrew said it's like going on a date with God. I think that was very applicable. And to actually devote space to him, having a space where it's just you and the Lord communing together. And this is important because when we spend time with God, we're getting into our heads who God is to us. Who is God? And that's why we devote space with the Lord, because we need to hear his voice into our life telling us who he is. And that God is not demanding on us like a ruler. He's not a strict father. But he's actually wooing us in this place because he loves us. He's pleading with us to come and dine at the table with him and enter into his rest. And we listened to how the Word of God is important to our life, that we should expect to see God working in our life and share the ways that God shows up. And that we should be hope-filled in this place because everything will be transformed and God will be exalted to the highest place. And so if you've missed a sermon or you want to listen to the richness of that and the testimonies that were shared, you can go to our website, trinitybaptistwinnipeg.com, and hear the sermons again and let it mull over. It's always good to hear them again. To hear new things that you might have missed in the service. This morning, I want to reflect on what we have been hearing, and that's what we've been hearing this summer. We can hear good messages, we can hear good testimonies, but if we don't actually pause in reflection to hear God's voice from what he's been speaking to us about, and what he wants to tell us, then what's the point? And we need to sit and pause and reflect and hear, what are you saying, God? Because then it can just be empty words. And so as Cam shared last week from Psalm 46, as he was sharing, what stood out for me blaringly, actually, was one word that was shared three times. And that was the word Selah. It was in the text. And it always, that word always strikes me. And when as Cam was sharing it, it struck me. And I went and meditated on that word. And Selah is a word used 74 times in the Hebrew Bible, 71 times in the Psalms, and it's listed three times in Habakkuk. It is actually used more often than the word amen and hallelujah. I thought that was interesting. Sila is a word that is meaningful to me. For several years, I've been pondering this word. It's not only my daughter's third name. We named her that because there was a prophetic, someone spoke prophetically over her that she would be somebody who, in her worship, people would pause and reflect on the Lord. And so Sila has been a meaningful word for me. And in my inspection of this word, someone shared with me that this word may mean pause. It may mean that it's a pause used in a musical song. This may mean that it is a pause of utter awe, of stopping what you're doing, stopping the song, and actually pausing to hear the words that were just sang. The words of the song are important, so the one stops and reflects on the Lord. It may also indicate a break in the song to stress the truth and importance of the preceding verses. And as I researched, there's various speculations of this one word. But this is one of the definitions that stick with me, which I'll use for the sermon this morning. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are a God who sees, you're a God who knows, and you're a God who is present. I thank you that you are here. That we don't have to call you to come, but you are here. So I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you would stir in us the things that you want to highlight, and that you give us joy in the midst of this journey with you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you want to put up the slide, Psalm 46 in the NIV version, we're going to read it again. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Here in this song, we've noted a lot of things as we reflected this summer. But this morning, I want to focus on the word Selah and talk about verses 1 to 3 and 7 and 11. Verses 1 to 3 talk about the fact that God alone is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble, which means that he is present no matter what. As I was thinking about that, what does it mean for someone to be present no matter what? Is God present no matter what in your life? No matter our trouble, even if it looks like everything is falling apart when it talks about mountains crumbling and oceans roaring, when your life feels like everything's like that, do you know that God is present in that place? Whatever you face, He is ever present. Friends and family may fail you. Your community here at Trinity Baptist may fail you. Your spouse or parents may fail you. But He, the God who formed you, is ever present to help you through anything and everything. And then after the verse 3, the word Selah appears. So we stop and we ask ourselves, do we believe that He is present in our trouble? Do you believe that He's present in your trouble? We've heard verses and most likely been taught that this is true. I think as a little kid, I've heard that growing up. God is with you. And you hear that over and over again. God is with you. But do you believe that? This morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that He is ever present? So put your past, let's put our head knowledge to the side, and let's put aside the good answer, because we can say, yes, God is with me. Let's put that to the side. Does He speak into your situations that you face? Does He speak into your troubles, and does He speak into your fear? Let's put aside that, yes, God does. Does He really? I want you to think about that for a moment. If Selah is a pause in reflection of what the verses just told us, and that there's something significant in that, in those verses, let's pause here because this is significant. And I don't want to rush out of something that's significant to the Lord. This morning as Andrew was playing, I was listening to the words of the choruses that he was singing, and I was asking myself, do I believe that? Do I believe it, or am I just singing it for the sake of singing it along with each other? Do I actually firmly believe what he's singing? So let's pause for a minute. I'll read verses 1 to 3, and I want you to think about God as your refuge, your strength, ever-present help in trouble. And I want us to pause and think, do I believe that? And so I'm gonna pause for a couple of minutes. I said to Paula, maybe I should pause for 5 minutes. And she said, 5 minutes is too long. Couple minutes. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present, and that's the word, two words, ever-present, help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Let's pause. ever-present. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Verses 7 and 11 both say the same thing. In this chapter, it says, "The Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. It pauses. After each one of those verses, the writer pauses. And a commentary that I read stated that we often hear this verse, "Be still and know that I am God." But the real emphasis here in this chapter is the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's the real emphasis, that God is with us. The Almighty, the Creator of all things, is with us. So this song, Psalm 46, is asking us to reflect on the fact that we will not fear when trouble comes, or when it's all around, or our life is going crazy, and it feels out of control, and everything's falling apart. Because God is present with us, the Lord Almighty is with us, He is our fortress. So this moves on to testimony I'm going to share briefly on our summer. This summer, we as a family needed rest. Our bodies felt tired. Our minds felt overloaded. We had been walking through a lot of stuff. Paula shared this summer about what she was facing. But we really needed rest. We needed time to reconnect. We needed time to chill with each other and just be present. And the last thing I wanted to do was reflect on a sermon. I knew reflecting on the sermon is good, and I did. And my quiet times I felt as I entered the summer were few and far between. So I felt it was lackluster. And to be honest, as I reflected on the summer, I found it really hard. I found it really hard to be in the Word this summer. I found it hard to pray this summer. I did it out of obedience, but I felt like, oh man, I should be doing it better. It should feel different. It should be different. I'm a pastor. It should feel different. It should look different. To me, it felt like I was spiritually striving in my obedience rather than spiritually resting with the Lord. So I got busy catching up on projects. My summer is the time, it's project time. I want to get as much done as I can. And then I got frustrated with not getting as much stuff done as I could have gotten done this summer. And yeah, there I was. So we went off to the lake for a couple of weeks, to Victoria Beach. And this is probably one of my favorite things to do. It's top of the list. Sometimes I say if I could live there full time, that's where I would be. And my prayer with the Lord as I went to Victoria Beach was, Lord, I need to find you again. I need to just find you. I know you, but I need to find you. I have all the head knowledge. I've experienced the Lord. I've experienced highs and lows and everything in between. But I was feeling lackluster with the Lord. For me, it felt like head knowledge rather than a relational knowledge with the Lord. And he was calling me into a relational aspect with him. My heart's desire, my prayer with the Lord was, Lord, I need to find you. I know you are with me, that you are present. But it feels like head knowledge rather than relational knowledge. My heart's desire is to delight in you. I need a restart, Lord. I need and want to hear your voice and encounter you in the ways that I have not yet experienced. I was hungry for a fresh encounter with the Lord. So we get to the lake, and getting to the lake is a little bit of tension in our home, because I'm the packer, I'm the one with the list, and don't come in my way. Let me just do it all, let me pack the car, let me get it all organized. If Paula and Phoebe could just go to the park and let me do it, I'd be happy camper. But we get to the lake, we unpack, and we just chill. We just sat in the cabin, just breathed, and it was beautiful. We frolicked in the lake. We built sand sculptures. We played games. We read books. We went for walks. We collected rocks. We painted rocks. We gave rocks to strangers. We had a great time. Family and friends came to visit us, and this was our Sabbath rest with community. And we delighted in one another. And it was all good. It was all good. If I could reflect on the 2 weeks, it was good time to be away. But in my heart, I desired more. And so one of our first Sundays there, we went to this small local church at Victoria Beach. And normally we would just go, we'd just say, well, let's have a family devotional time together. That's my thinking. And then I'd go, well, we'll sleep in, we'll have coffee, we might, you know, read a verse or two and pray with each other, but that would be our devotional time at the lake. But this time I felt compelled to go to the small little church at Victoria Beach. We'd never been there. And I saw the building, it's pretty small. So I'm half expecting this is a beach. There's gonna be maybe a dozen people there. Maybe six or so. And we came in, and I was pleasantly surprised to see almost a full house. There was well over 30 people in that little church. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I did not expect that. So we arrived, and we sat in the back, and the guest speaker was preaching, and he spoke on delighting in the Lord. Surprise, surprise. And he asked the question, what is your favorite thing in life? And I was thinking to myself, this dude is reading my mail. Everything he was saying, he was like, did you read my journal? Or did you get into my cabin? Or were you in my head? And he spoke and I listened, and he asked a lot of questions in the midst of the sermon. Some of the questions were, when you have free time, what do you spend your time on? Did it bring you closer to Christ? Did it bring you true joy, or was it fleeting? So could it just be blown away? And then he talked about three things. He talked about trees, he talked about wind, and he talked about water, and how these three things show us the Lord. And it really struck me, the things that he was sharing, because I love nature. I love to be in nature. I love the water in particular. And I love the trees as they tremble in the wind. But he was talking about this and the importance of delighting in God, because he's present wherever we go. And he was talking about the Lord being present everywhere we go, and that we are like trees planted by the water whose roots go down deep. And he talked about how the trees respond to the wind and how they sway back and forth. The trees, the leaves rustle, but the trees effortlessly move back and forth with the wind. And he asked the question, how do you respond to the Spirit? If the Spirit is like the wind, do you respond like the tree? Are you free to move back and forth as the wind blows? Or do you fight against the wind and as a tree stand really firm? But a tree has health as it moves back and forth with the wind. Are you like that with the Spirit? And he ended with the question, are you being refreshed by the living water? Because all else is fleeting and it doesn't last. And then I realized as I walked home from the service and awestruck with the Lord as he drew me to one of my favorite places that I love going to speak to my heart about what should be my most favorite thing. Because my most favorite thing shouldn't be the cabin, though it's good, but it's fleeting. It'll disappear. Is my favorite thing in life delighting in the Lord, who is with me, ever present? If he's ever present, am I stopping and pausing in the fact that this is my favorite thing? And I had to realize that for a long time, it hasn't been my favorite thing. It's the second thing, or maybe the third thing, but it hasn't been my favorite thing. And he drew me to Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8 in the Message. You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right, you don't go off on your own, you walk straight along the road he set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live, now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set me. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. So here in this place, I felt recharged with the Lord. I felt like I was beginning to see a new way in which God was wanting me to interact with him. Like he was sitting, like he was walking, cooking, swimming, hiking, painting, right alongside me. Am I aware that he is right here? Am I talking to him like he's right there? I have a really good friend who encountered the Lord, and his prayers with the Lord, it's like he's talking to me. He's just free with the Lord as he talks to him. He talks to him in the car. He talks everything. It's just like a conversation he has all the time. And it encouraged me. I was struck. I remembered that as I was putting together the message, just thinking about my friend who just talks to the Lord. And we can try to think in our head, oh, that's not being reverent enough, or it should look like this. But he's just talking. The Lord speaks to him all the time. It's amazing. I was really encouraged to remember that. So I felt recharged in this interaction with the Lord. And as soon as I felt this, it didn't happen right away, but I began to see, I reflected on that time after the cabin, but I began to feel guilty. I began to feel guilty for not realizing or doing something sooner. And the enemy began to speak condemnation to me. He began to speak I should have done it better. And I began to think I'm not good enough, that I'm the weakest link, that I should do more. And it began to fester in me, and I cried out to God for help. And I shared this with others, and I realized people feel the same way, but I shared it with others because I needed to be reminded that in the midst of how we do things, how we walk, how we don't get it right, that we are still getting things right with the Lord, and that the Lord is still speaking to us. And I was reminded of this canvas, and I brought it up here. Because before I prepared this canvas for what we did to the canvas was a half-painted picture. So underneath the black, there was a half-painted picture. And I'm Mennonite enough to use it again and not buy a new canvas. I know that. We don't have a big budget for creative art, so I'm going to find something to use. So I painted it, not really thinking about the unfinished painting that was there. I'm going to cover it because I didn't want that to be on there, so I covered it in black. And then I nailed the top of the sides and the bottom with little nails, and my plan was to fill up the whole canvas with string, but then I ran out of string. I'm not going to buy any more because we don't have enough money to buy string. So I used whatever I could find, and what ended up happening was it kind of looked like a cross. But that wasn't my intention when I put it together. And I began to realize that this canvas had more significance than I realized, that we used this to bring our hopes and our fears and the things that we were holding to the string, and it symbolized that we are together in this thing called life. That God is weaving something in our body, something beautiful. So we bring every part of our life to the string, to this canvas called our body, Trinity Baptist. But I was struck with, as I was prepping the sermon, I was struck with the unfinished painting and what that symbolized. For the person, I know the person who did the painting, and the painting was a cross and a hand coming toward the cross. And I realized that sometimes in our life, we feel like a half-finished painting. Or we didn't get it right, so we stopped. Or we're discouraged, so we stop. Or life is going so great, we don't remember the Lord. We just go, we're just like, yeah, this is good. But our first love is not there. And so I realized that in painting it black, I felt like the Lord say, that's what I'm doing with the half-finished painting. Is that the Lord doesn't want us to live in yesterday. He doesn't want us to live in the things that were unfinished, or our disappointments, or our frailties of yesterday, or our failings with him, that he wants us to live in today and the goodness of today and realizing that he's ever present today. Because the half picture, finished picture, is the unfinished things of yesterday. And the black symbolizes that everything is under there. It's covered. We can't see it. I could scrape it away, maybe you could see some color, but the black is the Lord covering yesterday, and today is today. And I felt that applicable as we enter into a new season, the fall season of ministry, that we don't think of last year. We don't think of the summer even. But we think of today, and each part of today. And so for some of this may look really full. I've talked to it with people, September, some of you may think, whoa, September's really full. We've got an ordination service. We've got a concert. Please remember the concert too. We've got a wedding. If you think about your life, we've got people who are moving. We've got people going back to school. We've got people going on trips. We've got people grieving the loss of a loved one. We have uncertainty of what the future could look like. Whatever it is, whatever your tomorrows even will look like, let's remember today. Let's remember to reflect on that God is with us and he's ever present today. And he's calling us to be refreshed in the place of today, not refreshed in the place of tomorrow, and not refreshed in the place of yesterday, but today. So let's stand together. And I want us to read, as kind of our benediction, Psalm 46, 1 to 3, and 7, 11. Because these are the verses that were highlighted with Selah. You don't have to say Selah. We'll just say the verse together. This is our benediction as we leave today. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the God of today, that you are ever present today, that yesterday is gone, it's finished, we can't relive it. So help us to get yesterday out of our head. And help us live in the calling that you have for us today. And the fullness of that. Let us live in it, Lord. Help us, Lord, live in today. To know that you're right beside us, that you're with us. That you've got a good work for us today. Help us to drink of the living water today. Help us to hear your voice today. Lord, help us not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. All we have is right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you do new things today. New things. You don't look at our failures, you don't look at our past wrongs or the ways that we could have done things differently. You're just calling us to live in today and to believe that we are beautiful to you. And Lord, help us to reflect and to pause when you speak something significant over our life. Help us to interact with you in that place. And in doing so, we find you and we know you. And I pray this in your powerful and mighty name, Jesus. And the God who will be exalted over all the earth. Amen.
I'm just going to pray and bless the food. We want to invite you to come downstairs after I bless you and pray, to join together in just a time together over food. So please join us downstairs. If you want to remain up and receive prayer, we'll be here to pray for you, and we'd love to do that. So may the, well, let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today and just this time we could be together. Lord, bless the food to our bodies and the hands that have prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace.